Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso. And today we're going to be talking about a very important traffic, human trafficking or sex trafficking in our region, how you could protect children from being exploited, and how to get help for those who have been trafficked. My very special guest today is Kathy Torres with Freedom from Exploitation, an organization that helps survivors of trafficking. Kathy is a survivor of sex trafficking herself, and she's also been active in many other organizations dedicated to helping survivors and end trafficking in our region. Kathy, welcome to the show, and I'll just say thank you for everything that you were doing to help these young women and boys.
Good morning. Thank you. I am very honored to be here with you.
Great. Well, I met you at a showing recently in the Lakeside School District of Stolen. That's a film, for those not familiar, that's based on the award-winning investigative series by NBC7 San Diego TV on human trafficking in our region. The film was produced by J.W. August. Shout out to J.W., who's also done some freelancing for us. Great guy. And the viewing included a panel discussion led by NBC reporter Monica Dean, and you were one of the folks, you know, featured in this event. San Diego, disturbingly, is one of the national hubs for human trafficking. And Monica Dean said that their investigation listeners found evidence of this happening in every single school district in our county. So, Kathy, can you tell us, how did you first get involved in helping survivors of human trafficking?
Well, being a survivor myself, I had been a part of San Diego's Prostitution Impact Panel, which is a panel that sees men who have been arrested or cited for trying to pick a prostitute. And they have community members, they have peer advocates or people that have gotten out of the life. They have men who have gotten out of the life from their sex addiction. They have service workers, people who LCSWs and MSWs and social work, people that help women and girls that have gone through this. They have law enforcement. And then they talk about relationships at the end, or have a thing about their, when you're with one person, you're going to be with everybody else. So it's a health component.
Yeah.
I was doing that. I've been part of that since 2001, mm-hmm. I believe. And from that, I realized I needed to do outreach to the women and girls that have been affected by this.
Right.
So I started going to different recovery homes and talking to women about an addiction beyond drugs and beyond alcohol. The travel, the glitz, the glamour, the clothes, the jewelry, the excess money, the, all this stuff. And that is the lure that gets people.
I was going to ask you, I mean, if you don't mind sharing, how did you first, you know, become exploited? And how does your own experience, you know, compare with what the young people today are going through?
Well, God rest their soul. My mother and father are in heaven. But my mother was relatively abusive when I was growing up.
I'm sorry. Okay?
We figure she probably had some mental health issues. And forgiveness,
people who are abusers have been abused themselves at some time. So
exactly. And then I had an older teenager sexually abuse me when I was 5. Mm. Coupled with the verbal and physical abuse that I grew up with, I started using drugs when I was like 12, 13 years old.
Which is very common among vulnerable kids.
You get abused and you want to stuff it. Yeah. Today, kids run away. Back then, I was too afraid of my mother to run away. She would have killed me if I tried it. And then my sister got pregnant young, at a young age, had a baby at 15. All this compounded with the abuse inside the home, creating low self-esteem, self-doubt, all these different things, coupled with the addiction factor By the time I was 18 and graduated high school, I was hooked on heroin and cocaine,
Oh no.
injecting it. And I had a 25-year drug and alcohol addiction.
Wow.
It
So is that how some pimp somewhere lured you into going the next step?
Yes, exactly. I decided to get away from that when I was 18 and went into the military. Okay, I went into the Marine Corps. My father was a Marine, and I had, anyway. When you go from one addiction, you skip over to another. I quit drugs and shooting up and stuff like that and became a really good alcoholic. That's what you do in the military. Yeah. And I went to boot camp at Parris Island, South Carolina, and got stationed out here. Well, I got married while I was in the military. After I got out and been married about 10 years, I had my son. And when I got out of the military, I continued my drug abuse because I didn't have a program. I didn't have a program that would help me to learn how to live life on life's terms. So, my drug abuse destroyed my marriage. My husband had been smoking cocaine. God rest his soul, he's in heaven too. He died at 37
Oh my.
from cardiomyopathy that was exacerbated by the use of crack cocaine smoking. So he had his first two heart attacks due to cocaine, went into the hospital. While he was there, I was acting out myself with a 3-year-old son. And I can tell you right now, as an addict, I was a horrible mother. Horrible, horrible. I did not take care of my son correctly. And when my husband got it out of the hospital, he saw what was going on. He took my son, and I didn't see my son from the age of 3 and a half to almost 7.
Oh my.
2 weeks after that, I got fired from my job. I had worked 9 and a half years for a doctor, which is not a good thing for an addict to do.
Yeah. So you were feeling desperate, I would imagine, and like
Yes,
you'd hit
yes,
bottom.
yes. And then 2 weeks after that, I got evicted from my house.
Oh no.
So in a month and a half, I lost everything.
So for
And with
you, it was a financial desperation situation that drove you into trafficking. You weren't a teenager like so many of the kids now.
The first time I tried it though, I was 18 and wanting a fix.
Wow.
That was it. And I was very promiscuous because of the abuse factor that happened to me early in my life.
Now,
Very promiscuous.
the kids today, I mean, it seems to be happening younger and younger and younger. They said at the program, NBC did, that the average age that kids are lured into trafficking here is 16, and
That's
very often it's much younger.
erroneous. That's erroneous because they did a grant from USD to Point Loma Nazarene, and they utilized 702 of my data points. Every person that I've ever seen in any group, I de-identified and I did research on them because after I got out of all this stuff, I worked for SDSU Research Foundation for 20 years about at-risk women and their kids, which was basically me and my son. And that was the average age of when I saw them.
I see. So they
Now,
might have been doing this for years before that.
I saw kids that were told me when they were like 9 and 10 years old, they were at the mall and these older teenagers approached them and say, "Hey, we're going to party tonight. You want to come smoke some weed? Do you want to come drink some beers?" And they thought, "Oh, these older teenagers are paying attention to us." So, of course, they snuck out that night. They went, and there were seven guys there that all brutally raped them,
Oh my
kidnapped
God.
them, and trafficked them from
Ooh,
the age of 9 and 10.
terrifying. And now we're hearing that a lot of the luring is being done, well, in a couple of ways. One of the big things that's changed since years ago is the internet and how they're being lured in, through game people they meet on gaming programs, on chat rooms, on Instagram, on Snapchat, by these
Facebook.
sort of predator. They may act like they want to be their boyfriend, and let's meet up and buy them jewelry and clothing and all that. And the other thing that I thought was really scary was it isn't just stranger danger anymore, although that's obviously a factor, but a lot of them are lured either by people they know, like a relative, but even, I think even more surprising for many of us is that these pimps or traffickers will get, you know, maybe middle school girls lured into this and have the middle school girls or boys go out and recruit their friends. So it's middle schoolers recruiting other middle schoolers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He wants more money makers out there. Yeah. He wants more money makers out there. And according to that study that was by Point Loma Nazarene and USD, in the county of San Diego, there's $810 million every year of human trafficking. And the main one, of course, is drugs. But once you sell a drug, it's done, it's gone. You can't use it anymore. And then there's guns. And once you've sold it and it's been used or dumped or whatever, it's gone. But a human being, you can sell over and over and over again. And the average sex buyer wants them younger and younger and younger, because then they think
Creeps.
that there's no disease process.
Wow.
And there is.
Well, sure. They've been with more than one person and there's a, you know,
Yeah.
disease potential. In the film, we learned that although the penalties on pimps, it seems like have gotten harsher, perhaps, the Johns, the buyers of these sex acts, even knowing they're buying minors, are getting off with a slap on the wrist or nothing at all. The film depicted a man in his 70s who was openly buying sexual services of young girls, pretty obviously minors. And these girls were recruited, I mean, this blew me away, by a pimp who was calling them up from prison, from jail, and telling them to go, you know, have sex with this old man. And yet the buyer, the sex buyer, the old guy, was given complete immunity from prosecution by Bonnie DeMonis when she was the DA.
And that's one of the worst things you can possibly do. I've also been part of an organization that was called Demand Abolition. And it's where you follow the money. If the money wasn't out there, if these men weren't paying absurd amounts of money to have sex with these young girls or boys, they wouldn't be out there. But,
well,
you know,
they call it the oldest profession. I mean, unfortunately, it's been around forever. How do you completely diminish, but how do you really make a serious dent in abolishing it?
Well,
Without
first of all, it's
penalties.
not the oldest profession. It's the oldest oppression.
Okay.
Okay. And people want to legalize it and have it go on just
Yeah.
the way, you know, it always has.
Now, you're opposed to making it to a new law that makes it essentially a victimless, not a crime for the person who's being trafficked, but only for the traffickers, which, I mean, sounds like a good idea. Let's encourage these girls to come forward. But you've told us about some problems.
The trafficker and the Johns should be prosecuted.
Absolutely. Have we seen any improvement in that, by the way, under the new DA, under Summer Steffen?
Yes. Yes.
Good.
I just absolutely love Summer. She helped and brought to us the Ugly Truth campaign that, and they had billboards, you know, that if you think that you're paying this girl's bills and that you're helping her to have a good life and you're feeding her kids and stuff, it's a lie, because there's a pimp behind her taking her money. You know, if you think this young girl really wants to have sex with you and she's enjoying it, that's a lie.
Yeah, it's
because
like paid rape.
psychologically it's horrible.
Absolutely. And you've also said that since this law took effect, where they don't prosecute the, you know, the essentially the victims, the women and boys, women and girls and boys involved in this, that they're not coming forward to get help, that law enforcement isn't sending you referrals. So it's kind of it's really a huge problem.
It is. For many, many years, I am still part of the prostitution impact panel that tries to engage men to educate them about what's really going on.
Yeah, that's
And
interesting. Is that really very effective in dissuading them from going out and continuing to do this, to continuing to buy people for sex?
Yes. Yes, it is. It's just that they need to do broader sweeps and get more guys, because a lot of times the cop will stop somebody who has been in the act or whatever, they slap the guy on the wrist and they arrest the girl.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's just, and they used to arrest minors. That was really sad, you know?
Yeah, because they're obviously a minor has been victimized. She or he clearly didn't choose this path, you know?
Exactly. And if
or
you're
didn't have
under
the
18,
mental capacity, you know, or the, I mean, that's not a decision a minor should be making.
No. If you're under 18, you cannot give consent, period.
It's stat rape. I mean, even if it's a boyfriend, it's statutory rape. It's technically a crime anytime a minor has sex with somebody. So how they
it
can
is.
Not
it
prosecute
is.
The person who's buying sex from a minor is just unfathomable.
Well, they've enhanced the fines. If a man picks up a girl that is underage and he knows that she's underage, that it will trigger larger fines, like an extra 25,000 or this or that. I'm not quite sure what the amounts are, but because they are, and through my Survivors of the Streets meeting that I had every week for years and years and years and years, where the courts would refer women that were picked up. They don't want to prosecute them. They refer them to my class. They do all the classes. They pay their fines. And then instead of prostitution on their record, it would be disturbing the peace. And then after a while, they would just drop the charges because they satisfied everything that the courts needed.
Yeah.
Well, because of this new law, SB 357, that says that the police cannot stop, cite, or arrest anybody for loitering with the intent to commit prostitution. And this includes the men that are driving around trying to pick up prostitutes. They can't stop them.
Oh, my goodness.
And when they don't cite them and they don't go to court, they don't get referred.
So how is there any other way? I know you've said you don't do street outreach because it's too dangerous. So how else can we reach these people short of getting that law repealed?
Well, I was going prior to COVID. I was going out to Las Colinas, and I was teaming up with North County Lifeline, and we would go out there and we would teach my curriculum. Well, it's not my curriculum, but that we would teach a curriculum called Ending the Game. And it was written by human trafficking survivors for human trafficking survivors. And it's 10 lessons long, and it's very effective, even for those that are involved in a domestic issues. You know, maybe their husband, their boyfriend, their father, their mother are selling them. And I used to go to juvenile hall, and I talked to kids there from 2003 to 2015. We went for 2 or 3 years out to Las Colinas pre-COVID. COVID just messed everything up.
Yeah.
And I would go out to different recovery homes. I had my groups. It was like, and I've seen over 3,000 people when you put it all together. And I don't know how many have told me that their first pimp was their mother.
Oh my God.
Or their father. Their father
Shocking.
would tell a young girl, why are you giving it up for free when you could be paid for it?
Terrible.
It is. It is.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the warning signs for parents, teachers. And I will say at the event the other night, there was a lot of interest from teachers and from school board members. There were school board members there from Lakeside. There was Gary Woods, Dr. Gary Woods from Grossmont Union High School District, said he wants to make the district a leader in stopping human trafficking. So there are some signs that can be tips that someone is being groomed, a teenager is being groomed for possible trafficking, or perhaps already being trafficked. Can we go through what those signs are that parents and teachers or anybody else can look for?
Okay. Well, teachers know their kids. They know if the kids don't have, you know, a lot of money, the family doesn't have a lot of money, then suddenly they start showing up with nice clothes or a cell phone or two cell phones. And they might be missing some school. They might be coming in really, really tired because the boyfriend had them out late last night working.
Yeah.
You know, when a child has multiple cell phones,
pretty good tip off, yeah.
Yes. when suddenly, you know, the family doesn't have any money and this kid's got some nice clothes. When she's talking about her boyfriend, you know, and all the he's got the cars, he's got the money. He's, oh yeah, we're going to go out to Las Vegas next weekend. Oh
Or
yeah,
if she's secretive about texting and suddenly doesn't want people to see or trying to sneak up in the room to do the gaming, you know. I mean, one thing is
That's
don't let these young kids use the computer off by themselves. I've heard let have it be in the if they're on the internet, they better be on the room with the parent where the parent can kind of monitor what's going on.
Exactly. But I was talking primarily about the signs that teachers might be able to
Right,
see,
right.
you know, or school nurses if they come in and these kids have got an STD.
Yeah, hello.
And so, and parents, yeah, if your kid has suddenly got something new and they can't tell you where it came from or they don't have a receipt,
Yeah,
they
exactly.
they've got cell phones that the parents didn't buy. They've got iPads. They've got these different things. Check the apps. You have a right to go into your child's internet services and find out what kind of apps they've
Yeah.
got on there.
Well,
And you can do
and
a
checking
parental log.
the social media, I know even I've been a news editor for a long time, and when I first started with this, I can recall, you know, missing teen cases where the police were just treating it like a routine runaway. And I remember having a discussion with a detective. Did you look at her Facebook page? What's Facebook? You got to be kidding me. And on the Facebook, it was pretty obvious. She was, you know, posing with almost no clothes on, laying on a bed with a bong. And I mean, there were no like friend posts. This was all someone who obviously was being trafficked. And they thanked me because they didn't know about it. I know they're more savvy now, and that's probably one of the first things that they check. But you
We
know, it's
have
just sad
trained
that
the
no one was
police.
checking that sooner.
We have trained the police. We have trained the sheriff's department, the FBI, gang units, emergency room doctors, teachers, schools, wherever it is. We've tried to go in there and educate them about what's going on. The FBI has got a clear view as to what's going on because you have what is termed the dark net. And the dark net is, there is nothing good on the dark net.
No, there's not. And they've done, I will say, you know, shout out for the FBI. They have done some national sting operations and arrested a whole bunch of people, and a lot of them were right here in San Diego County. And the other thing we should say is, although we've been talking about, you know, poor kids and abused kids, that's not all. Those aren't the only ones. I mean, it's happening. There have been kids taken off the streets in shopping malls in La Jolla. I knew a businesswoman who ran for city council, very reputable woman in Lemon Grove, and her teen daughter was abducted at gunpoint from a party she went to with people she thought she could trust and was forced into trafficking, you know. So it really can happen to anybody. You know, you got to know where your kids are going, know who they're with. You know, if they're going to a party at a hotel room, I mean, no way, you know, but I mean,
If
more
they're
than worries.
staying the night at a friend's house, you call that friend's parents and you find out on this date, are you going to be at the home? Who's going to be chaperoning? And you have to do that.
Yeah. One of the things that I have been shouting about for years, and it just doesn't seem to change, but when a teenager goes missing, all too often, the law enforcement authorities do not put out a missing person report. They don't tell the media for, you know, for days, sometimes even weeks go by. And to me, it seems like anytime a teenager is missing, you know, more than overnight at least, you know, it seems like there should be a all points bulletin out, because even if they're a runaway, we know what happens. These runaways get trafficked. What's the statistic about the percentage of them that get approached by traffickers within like 24 or 48 hours of going missing? It's really astoundingly high.
It is because on any given night, there's a good 2,500 runaway kids. And what they're failing to do is if they're running away, what are they running away from?
Well, maybe that's it. If they're being abused at home, is there a thought maybe that, well, maybe they're, you know, going to wind up somewhere better, but
They just say they're a runaway, and they fail to put out a lot of notices for kids of color.
yes.
If they're black or brown or Native American or any of that, they don't put the same energy into the investigation as they would. And
yeah, it's very racist, or at least unconscious bias. But you're right, a pretty white blonde girl from a good family in a good neighborhood, they're going to get that notice out a whole lot faster than if it's a black or Hispanic girl from the hood, you know, especially
exactly.
if the kid has had a history of maybe running away before or had a run in with the law before. They just dismiss it and they don't realize that, you know, just because somebody ran away doesn't mean they're not being trafficked now. You know?
Exactly. And what are they running away from? If they're running away from poverty, and this guy comes up and sees them by themselves at a park, and they start talking to him, and they say, well, you don't have to put up with that stuff at your house. You don't have to put up with those foster parents. You don't have to put up. I'll take care of you, honey. It's okay.
Well, and if they are in trouble, if something illegal is going on in that house and they're running from that, let's say they're being physically abused or sexually abused at home, they should still try to find them. But then before they take them home, maybe do some heavy duty questioning, saying, you know, if there's problems at home, we'll help you. You don't have to go back to a dangerous situation, but running away isn't the answer. You could wind up somewhere worse, even worse, you know.
And they run away from the rules at their home, and then they run into this pimp who gives them even more rules. And so they don't understand. They're jumping out of the pot into the fire.
Yeah. What would you say to a teen who, I let me back up a little bit. One of the ways they sometimes get these kids into this and hold them there is, you know, they'll convince them to text, say, a nude photo or semi-nude photo of themselves. I'll send one to you. If you send one to me, I love you, you know, this kind of stuff. And the minute they do it, that's I'm going to show it to everybody. I'm going to show it to your parents, your teachers, unless you do this one time for me, you know, so we can get some money, honey. And bingo, they've been hooked into prostitution. They're ashamed to go back. And then maybe the next thing, like you say, they're taken to a hotel and they're gang raped by 10 guys when they think and they're going to meet one. Or to meet the boyfriend even. So what would you say to a woman or a girl or a boy who's in that situation, who may be feeling, you know, too ashamed or too afraid to seek help?
To do it anyway, just to reach out. There are lots and lots and lots of people and organizations here in San Diego County that can help you. They can help you. They can put you in a safe place. They can help you.
And
don't take any skin pictures. Don't take, you know, don't take pictures when
do
you
it.
Don't have clothes on. Just don't, because once it's out there on the internet, it's out there and there's nothing you can do.
Exactly.
I've seen kids who took pictures of their breasts and sent it to their boyfriend, and then lay it on the bed and send it to their boyfriend, and then they break up with that boyfriend, and the boyfriend says, you know, if you don't do this for me, or you go out with my friend, then I'm going to send this to your grandparents. I'm going to send it to the school. I'm going to do this or that.
Yeah.
And
I'm going to publish it online so everybody can see it. Yeah, exactly.
And if you take pictures even of yourself, that's called child pornography. And it's against the law.
Yeah, a lot of teens don't realize they're actually breaking the law if they do that. But I imagine that's another thing these guys could hold over them. Oh, you know, you're a criminal now. So just don't, you know, don't do it. That said, I mean, if someone was lured into trafficking and they're, you know, 14 or something, are the police really going to prosecute that girl for sending the picture of her breast? I mean, is that really a real fear that she should worry about if she's trying to get out of prostitution?
They could threaten that, but there's a lot of programs out there that will help her with that and try to get it off the internet. It's, I mean, if you send it through the internet and he or to his phone and he puts it out there, there's like really
but she's really not likely
do.
To wind up in jail if she's going and telling them about being pimped out, you know.
Exactly. They'll help her.
Okay, good.
They will help her. They no longer arrest her for this stuff.
Okay, good.
They help her.
Good. I know you talked about what got you to finally escape, to get out of trafficking, and what happened to the other young women that were being trafficked at the same time, the women you knew who were in this life?
There's not a lot of them are still alive. The majority of the people, women that I knew out there, are either in prison or dead. Most of them are dead because of the things that went on out there. Of course, I've been out of the life for 29 years. And at one point, there was a guy down here killing prostitutes.
Yeah. Ooh.
And he killed up to 45 women. And I knew a lot of them.
How
I knew
awful.
a lot of them.
This
I
was
was,
really dangerous. Plus, drug overdosing with fentanyl is another issue now. There's just so many ways that it can end badly.
if you go to a hotel or if you get in a car or you go to somebody's house, you don't know who else is there. And you don't know what they're going to do. You're in their world. So when they talk about you can be empowered because you're getting their money and you're this, no. Men are bigger, stronger. They have more force. And try taking a weapon, and you'll have that weapon taken from you and used against you.
Yeah.
You
So if
just
some,
don't understand.
I understand that there's been an effort to get, an education campaign going with posters all over the place. Now it's in, airports and hotels and bathrooms and, train stations, and schools could put it up in school bathrooms. I mean, anybody really could. And it has information about, how to get help. So if somebody listening out here is a survivor or suspects that somebody they know needs this kind of help, who can they call?
The National Human Trafficking Hotline is 1-888 3737 888.
Is that the same as the Be Free? I think there's a 1-800 Be Free or one.
Well, there's a 1-800 Be Free, but the national hotline is 1-888 3737 88.
Okay, and if you missed that, we're gonna have an article on this at eastcountymagazine.org, or just Google, National Sex Trafficking or National Human Trafficking Hotline, and
Yes.
you'll find it. But do call. There is help out there for anybody who wants to get out of this and rebuild their life. There's hope at the end of the line.
God
Kathy,
allows U-turns. That's the thing I've always said in my life. God allows U-turns.
there you go. Allows U-turns. I like that. What else would you like our audience to know, Kathy, about this very important issue of human trafficking, primarily sex trafficking in our region?
Stop blaming the victims. It's the men that go out there and buy these children, these boys, and ask them to do vile things with their little bodies. And then you turn around and you blame the victim. Well,
Yeah.
she's just nothing but a little hoe. She's just nothing but a little prostitute. How about the men that buy them? Those are the perpetrators.
I agree with you completely, Kathy. Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Thank you.